Okay, we want to say good evening and welcome back to An Understanding of God's Word. I'm Minister Shanette Peterkin. We're here tonight with our panel to continue in our discussion of God's Word. Last week we were talking about, we've still been building on the topic of who has bewitched you. Last week we dealt with the section of blind guides. And what we're talking about, we came from Galatians chapter 3, is the fact that God has equipped us with a power source to give us discernment, to be a counselor, who is the Holy Spirit, who is the third person of the Godhead, and his job specifically is to be a counselor, a comforter. He comes alongside us. He's the Paracletus, the power of God. If God is going to do anything in the life or in the earth of the believer, he's going to do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. But the problem is, or the thing is, that the Holy Spirit will not work or impute his power or enforce his power in our lives unless faith is properly placed in the cross of Christ. So no matter how well we quote the scriptures, no matter how much I go to church, no matter how sincere I may be in serving God, I must have my object of faith in the right place, which is the cross, so that the Holy Spirit can exert his power, and I must be yielded to this process. I can't just be, yeah, I hear amen it and uh-huh, but I got to be willing to move as he directs me. That makes sense?
Yes.
This is where many of us are stuck. We get stuck gazing at the cross, the message of the cross, and spitting and preaching it, but application is the part where God is waiting for the church to be changed. So we were talking earlier and we were saying that a lot of times we get the terminology. We get the words holiness and we got to serve and we got to be sanctified. But if without a revelation and a change from the inside out by way of us yielding to the process of the cross to produce humility, to produce patience, to produce faith and all those things in our lives, unless we're submitted to the process of the cross, we will walk in defeat. We will walk in failure. And I can walk in failure quoting scriptures.
Amen.
I can walk in defeat knowing the word of God and going to church. Y'all hear me? So it's God is after something. See, the only way what we do is we because we've not gone through the process of being changed and renewed in our mind and our thinking, we can only try to apply the word of God based upon our own reasoning, our own mindset, if that makes sense, our own power and our own strength. So whereas God says he wants us to serve one another, I'm going to take that literally in my flesh to think that because I'm doing external works, I'm serving.
Wow, amen.
But the first thing that you and I must understand that this serve means that I must first learn how to submit to God's way, be broken bread, pour out wine, let God put his will and desire. Let me learn to serve him in the beauty of holies. Let me learn how to be valuable unto him and not try to offer works like Martha. Sit at his feet. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor. See, this is how we learn to serve, by sitting at his feet.
Amen.
Ceasing from my own labor and understanding what he requires of me. This is why so many churches are in bondage and so many people can't get past justification. You said it earlier, Sister Chair, we can't enter into the work of sanctification because we're stuck at justification.
Mm-hmm.
We think that now that I'm saved, now I can sit down on God, I can go. And when I say sit down on God, I mean you're active physically, but spiritually we're sitting down on God, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yeah.
Spiritually, we're dead to the things of the spirit. We don't know the mind of God. We're not able to comprehend it because we're not receiving that which the spirit is trying to give because we're not postured correctly. We're not. When Mary sat at his feet, that meant that she desired to submit and surrender to his way, his teaching. See, she had to cease from her labor and stop trying to understand things from her perspective, her mindset, her upbringing, her own views and opinions, and fully surrender to that of Christ.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. So the things that come in and hinder us or cut in on our race, Paul said, and we'll go to Galatians 3 right quick. We'll start at verse 1. He asked them, who has bewitched you? Now, the burden lies on the individual because you and I are responsible for who we allow to influence us and pull us away from Christ.
Yeah.
See, that burden is on us. He says, who has bewitched you? Meaning that the who can be you and me, the who can be external source or some organization or whatever. But I am responsible because Christ or Paul had given them the message of the cross. And they entered in by faith in the cross. So now they want to fix themselves or deliver themselves and change themselves by works.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not possible. It will stunt your growth every time.
Amen.
So this is the desire of Satan. This is why he's called a thief, a robber, the accuser of the brethren. He's trying to impede our race, our journey. He does not want, he wants to cut in, and he will use any means necessary. He will use spouses that are in the flesh. He will use family members. He will use friends. He will use whatever, yourself.
Amen.
So we saw with Christ, he used the enemy used Judas. And he also used Peter, you see? Whoever is in the flesh, whoever is thinking at, or looking at things from a human perspective without divine influence.
Amen.
And this is why you and I cannot, the Bible says that Christ did not commit to man because he knew what was in man. You understand what I'm saying? He didn't put he loved all men. He had a gathering. He didn't exclude people. He went with different types, around different types of people, but he did not commit himself to man.
Amen.
Because he knew there was a nature. He knew there was a waywardness in all of us. There was a bent towards wrongdoing. So no matter, I don't care who it is, your trust should always be in the Lord.
Amen.
Your trust should always be in the cross of Christ. See? So let's start at Galatians. Any questions or comments before we get into the scripture? Okay, Galatians chapter 3, and we'll start at verse 1, and then we'll take off from there.
O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith.
Okay, let's stop right there. Now, we said last week, we were looking at this word, he said, who has bewitched you? And we were looking at the word bewitched, and let me get there so I can tell you the exact definition. I don't wanna mess it up. But the word bewitched, he first called them foolish, right? And then he said, who has bewitched you? The word bewitched means to speak ill of or to bring evil on one by feigning praise or an evil eye, to charm. See? This is, deception is the main thing that Satan uses to push his agenda and his will in the earth. Remember, he's the little g god or ruler of this world system. Why? Because Adam and Eve, through deception, handed it to them.
Amen.
You see, this is very critical because today and in these last days, deception is running rampant. The Christians are deceived and supporting error and wrongdoing. Why? Because it's presented in a way that seems good and right. But it will take those looking from the eyes of the cross or through the eyes of the cross to see those things that lurk in darkness. You cannot see them with the human eye, cannot perceive it with the human mind. It takes a revelation from the Spirit of God, and only when our faith is resting in the cross of Christ and we are being developed and growing in Christ, growing grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, will you and I be able to see these things There are evil spirits working in the spirit realm that we can't see, but they manifest through people in the earth.
Amen.
And we have to have the mind of Christ in order to see that what Christ tell Peter. One minute Peter says, Lord, I love you. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The next minute he says, far be it for you to go to the cross. You can't go. And he says, get behind me. Looking at Peter, get behind me, Satan.
Yes.
For thou art an offense, because you sayest not the things of God. You see?
Mm-hmm.
It is easy to be in the flesh. And that sounded spiritual, what Peter said. Like he was concerned for Christ. He didn't want Christ to go to the cross. But Christ saw the bigger agenda and the bigger motive. You and I have to learn to look beyond the natural. You can't see these things lurking in darkness with the human eye and the human mindset.
Amen.
So there is a work happening in the earth to bring evil on an individual, on a family, on a city, on a nation, and on the world. You see?
Yes.
There is a charm that's happening to bewitch you and I so that we can, our affection will be towards people, parties, groups, agendas, motives, and you'll think you're supporting something, a good cause, but it's really to gain or to push an agenda. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Satan is working in the earth to push his agenda. He wants to be ruler. He wants to oust God and his plans. And so, therefore, the people of God and all those who are beholden to Christ, he comes against.
Yes.
So there's going to always be the fake will always try to mimic that which is true and just and right. That's why there was always two churches in the Bible. There was the organized religious Jewish synagogue, and then there was the true church who was persecuted. See? There was always two churches, and it's the same today. Today is the apostate church that stands, because we're in the last of the church age, and it's the apostate church and it's the true church.
Yes.
The apostate church says we're rich, increase with good, and have need of nothing. But Christ said you can't see that you are blind, poor, naked, and miserable.
Amen.
Because of what they had physically, they couldn't see their spiritual condition. And this is where we are today. We are blinded to our true condition. And so I'm finding that it's hard for us to take a look within to see look at our true selves. Many of us are afraid. We're afraid to look and see what's in our own heart.
Amen.
And we can't. We have to learn, if we look to Christ, Christ will reveal it, but at the same time change it. See?
Amen, yes.
You see? So he's not here to just condemn us, but he came to set the captives free. So let's go to First Timothy chapter 4. I want you to see that we're talking about these things that come to take our affection away from Christ. And that's what we read in chapter 3, verse 1 of Galatians. He says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? And we said last week that there was an influence, an evil influence that came in to pull their affections away from the right way, which was Christ in the cross alone, faith in the cross, to works, religious works, being mm-hmm. circumcised to be right with God.
Amen.
So this stopped them from obeying the Spirit, from being changed from the inside out. He said, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? The truth is the message of the cross. So what happened was these Galatians were saved, but the growth process, grace, had ceased or stopped functioning and developing them. So now, because growth stopped, they were getting ready to transfer the object of faith to church works and religious activities. So the hardest person we read last week to win to Christ is a religious person.
Amen.
And the desire of Satan is to push and drive each of us to religion.
Mm-hmm.
If you are not crucified, see, when you're crucified, you be like, I don't care. That's not the truth, and I'm standing on the truth of God's word, whether they like me or not. But when you're crucified, you say you don't care. You stand on the truth of God's word, regardless of the confrontation, regardless of the animosity that's created from it. See, I read a devotional by Oswald, and he said, your obedience to God will cause others something.
Ooh, amen.
See,
amen.
Your love for God, you love God. If he tell you to do this and do that, even though it may cause friction in your home, on your job, or whatever, your standing for truth will cost them something.
Yes.
You see, because it's not going to affect you if you're truly sold out to Christ. But what I'm finding is that too many of us want to keep peace in the home or on the job, and we don't want to rock the boat, and we don't want to look like a failure, or we're not with the flow, or we're not with this groupthink thing. See, Satan works through groupthink.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't think like us, the world will put pressure on you until you do.
Amen.
That's why the way is broad. See, that's how the world of politics works. If you don't, they push and push an agenda so that if you don't think this way or go along with the flow, everybody will look down on you, and not many people can stand.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody want to be called a racist. Nobody want to be called. See, if you don't grow, we're gonna call you racist. If you don't do this, we're gonna call you a square. If you don't go with the flow, we're going to say you're not a part of, I heard somebody say, I lost my black card. See, we don't want to feel left out of, so we just go with the flow, and it's called groupthink. It's a psychological terminology, and the enemy uses it, see, in the spirit realm, to push us to do his will.
Amen, yeah.
See, in the church world, it's there in the church world. If you go against the grain, if you're the only one standing on the truth of God's word and everybody else is obeying the pastor and the pastor's in error, guess what? Everybody else going to look at you. It's called groupthink.
Mm-hmm.
And most people, if the grace of God is not operating in their hearts and lives, will not be able to stand the pressure, so they conform.
Yeah.
See?
Amen. Mm-hmm.
They conform to the environment, and because nobody wants to be labeled, oh, you starting trouble. See?
Yep.
This is why you and I must come to know truth. So what they did, they stopped obeying the truth of God's word and start listening to man. They started listening to organized religion, laws, rules, regulations. See?
Yeah.
And we read down last week in Galatians 4 how the Judaizers were trying to win their affections from Christ, pull their affection from Christ to themselves. They wanted followers, because if they had followers, it made them look like they were spiritual.
Ooh, yeah. Amen.
And it's the same thing we have today. The more people I have under me, the more spiritual I am.
Amen.
And they really didn't want these Christians to grow, because if they grew, truly grew, they would expose the Judaizers. Most leaders in the organization should be pushing for you to grow.
Yes, that's right.
See, not just saying it with words, but the actions got to match. Because if we get truth, you see, this is the thing. If you point, do like the woman at the well, come see a man that told me every. You let truth operate and work in you to change
mm-hmm.
you. Once it changes you, you point others, not to your ministry, not to yourself as a pastor. See, not to Christ. They call no man father.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a spiritual father. Christ, God is. See?
Yeah.
We so busy. This is my spiritual father, and he led me, and he did. And we look into man, and we're promoting men, and what it does is swell. See, man can't handle the praise and the adoration. Man, they become prideful.
Yes.
And it's very easy if you're not humbled by the cross.
Amen.
Not saying that you don't appreciate people, but we do. But a lot of people take it wrong, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So we're supposed to point people to come see a man. And when you point people to come see a man, the Holy Spirit is responsible for growing them up. That burden is not on the preacher, the pastor. See, that's not my job is to point you to the source.
Amen. Yes.
When I point you to the source, I'm supposed to live it by example of the life of faith in Christ and the cross. And my life exemplified by exhibiting faith should cause you to want to, oh, man, this woman's been changed.
Yes.
That we see a change in her. And they said, not only do we want to hear from you, we want to go to him for ourselves. This is what the preaching of the cross does. It causes people to want to go to Christ for themselves. What the Judaizers were doing, they wanted people to come to them.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Yesterday.
Yes, ma'am. So Paul says in Galatians 4:19, you don't have to go there, he says that I espoused you to one husband, one, Christ. So why are you shifting or changing your affection from Christ in the cross to these Judaizers and their works? And he says he was travailing, meaning that he was trying his best. He said, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. He said, I have to deliver to you again the rudiments of the great message of Christ and him crucified, as though you had never heard it to begin with. See?
Man.
He had to keep preaching the cross until Christ be formed. He was waiting for them to put their object of faith and go see a man.
Yes, amen.
Go walk in what you've heard. Let the Holy Spirit develop you. They weren't. They were putting their affection, shifting their affection from Christ to man. Aren't we doing the same thing today? We're shifting our affection when we want religious church more than we want to grow in Christ. We're shifting our affection from Christ to man. We're shifting our affection from Christ to church, religious organizations.
Mm-hmm.
See? And we have to, we are responsible. It's our own fault. And I said, Galatians, what did I say?
1 Timothy 4.
Okay, let's go over there. Any questions?
But it's so amazing how we can get so caught up in, we go to, like you said, we go to church, and you go to church to hear the word, mm-hmm. and then you get so caught up in the man that's preaching, till you forget about the word of God, and you just, whatever come out of his mouth, you agree to whatever he's saying. It's just so amazing how we can let ourselves just be so caught up in that.
Right. And it's so easy, Sister Cherry, because we read back in that, in Galatians 3, that they stop obeying the truth. He said they stop obeying the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So because they shifted their object of faith, grace stopped working. So when grace stopped working, that means you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. Now we have to resort to our own power.
Ooh, mm-hmm.
You see, we're relying. So you can only have one of two power sources working, that of grace and Holy Spirit, or that of human strength and ability, which is religious works and activities.
Amen.
When we resort to religious works and activity, that means our faith has not been placed in the cross. You're saved, but you will not. Grace has become of none effect.
Yes.
Because sanctification, he can't develop you and I so that we can see and grow to see these things of the spirit that lurks in darkness. And this is why Christ could see the motives and the agendas. It wasn't that because he was God, which he was, but he relied on the power of the Spirit. The Spirit would tell him. And see, because he had no sinful nature, he wasn't hindered by sinful nature, but he had a godly nature, divine nature. So his temptation was he could have acted out as God, but he didn't. He laid it aside and expressed himself as a man so that he could rely totally on the Spirit to do the will of God. Same thing that you and I are supposed to do. Rely totally on the Spirit to do the will of God, not our strength, not our ability.
Amen.
So the church has changed it from us relying on the Spirit of God to relying on works, self-efforts, religious activities, to accomplish a goal.
Amen.
And when we do that, there's no true power showing up. This is why people aren't delivered. This is why, honestly, the world is in the state that it's in. This is why darkness is prevailing, because the power, remember he said, we are the light.
Yes.
So the light can only be exhibited in me as I yield and surrender and submit to the process of the cross, as the Holy Spirit is working out lying, hatred, malice, and working in me hope, faith, love, joy, peace. See, All those things. Now, the character of Christ, till Christ be formed in me. See, now, that's why Paul was travailing. He was trying to get the light of the gospel to work. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save, deliver the soul. See?
Amen.
And so because this is not happening, and we all have a form, we have mostly a form of godliness, darkness has prevailed. Darkness is just simply the absence of light. All those things you said earlier, Sister Cherry, that we see in the earth, and now how you can have an abortion up until full term now. You can deliver that baby, and they still want to abort it.
Jesus.
Y'all see? This is darkness prevailing. Now, transgenders are participating in the girls' athletic competitions, and they got testosterone. They're men.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You see what I'm saying? And we're sitting back and we're accepting it.
Yep, that's right.
Darkness is prevailing because there is a lack. There's no light.
Yes. Amen.
And so each of us have been called. I don't care who we are, to be light in this world. And so let's see what we're up against in verse 1 of 1 Timothy chapter 4.
Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth.
Okay, let's start right there. The main thing I want to focus on is the first verse, which says, now the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, speaks expressly or pointedly that in the latter times, the times in which we live now, the last of the last days, which begin the fulfillment of end time prophecies, it says some shall do what?
Depart from
it. It didn't say depart from church.
From faith.
Right. Some shall depart from the faith. This is where we're at now.
Amen.
The Laodicean church is the last day church. This is the last church, the age that we're in before the rapture occurs. And this is the apostate church. And that means the church has left Christ.
Yes.
It has departed from Christ, faith in the cross. But it has a substitute church, which is organized or religious church. See?
Mm-hmm.
So remember I said earlier that the enemy always tried to mimic that which is of Christ or God, the kingdom of God. Why? For the purpose of deceiving.
Yes.
He does not want us to come to our potential in Christ. He don't want us. He's a thief. He's a robber. He does not want us to grow in Christ to be light in this dark world and dark church. He doesn't want that. So what he produced is a form, religious spirits that they go around. Remember he told the Pharisees, you search far, compass land and sea, to find one proselyte and make him twofold the devil.
Yes.
Then you are. And so this is what Satan's demonic spirits are doing. It's trying to cause people to depart from the faith. Same way he used the Judaizers to come against the Galatians, the Christians in Galatia. Same way he used the religious people to try to separate the church in Corinth, see? Some shall depart from the faith. It says anytime Paul uses the term the faith, in short, he is referring to the cross. So we are told here that some will depart from the cross as the means of salvation and victory. See? What are they departing to? They departed from the cross, so they're going somewhere else. Remember I said we can only be in one of two places?
Mm-hmm.
They're giving heed to what?
Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils.
You see that? The two things, seducing spirits are evil spirits or religious spirits. I was reading in Matthew, I think it was 26 or 27. Y'all know how there's always same. Remember I said Satan mimics. He for everything information that's true, he mimics a lot. He makes a lie to make it look like the truth, right?
Yes.
So he Satan comes along because he wants to. He uses seducing spirits and he uses scriptures, but he misinterprets the scriptures in order to seduce. See, in order to pull us away and our affection away from the cross.
Amen.
So he comes in with alternative facts, and as I was saying earlier, I was reading Matthew 26 or 27, and it was the trial of Christ, and the religious leaders always hated Christ. They knew who he was. They knew who he was. And they hated that the people's affection was for Christ and not themselves, right? So what they did was when Christ said he was going to destroy the temple and raise it up in 3 days, he was talking to his disciples and he wasn't even talking about that temple. He was talking about future events that was going to happen to Israel, right? And so they came in, and it's, the Bible says they went and found false accusers.
Mm-hmm.
When the enemy cannot find anything on you, he will search to find liars. And they said they came together for the purpose of condemning him to the cross.
Yes.
But then their lies didn't even add up, see? This very same thing is happening now. And you and I have to be very careful because the enemy will mimic truth.
Mm-hmm.
He will give us information that seems to be true and right. But you and I are responsible for the Holy Spirit going to lead you into all truth. And if you're led by the Spirit of God and you're surrendered and submitted to the cross of Christ, you're going to do what your part. See, the problem with us is we're lazy. And in most cases, we don't want to do the part where the Holy Spirit said, okay, get some information. Read your word. Don't just read your word because you're going through routine. See, the Holy Spirit will lead you, and as you read the word, he will bring. This is how I told y'all I used to hate reading. I didn't like reading. I didn't go get books and stuff to read. But reading the word opened up another door to find out the historical facts about stuff, and it coincides with the word of God, and now you get in the background, you're starting to, and it becomes interesting, and you find yourself not reading because, oh, I got a set schedule, I'm going to read at 5:30, 5 o'clock, and you know, I don't do that. Used to, and it never worked. But when I totally surrendered and wanted the truth of God's word, I can't go without it.
Amen.
And then there's books and information out there that God will give you insight, and he will lead you to what's true, and he will show you what's true, and because you have what's true, you'll know what's fake. You see?
Amen.
There is a war today on, they call them revisionist history historians, and they're changing the history books. They're teaching our kids false information. This is why you shouldn't want the government controlling your education. It wasn't that way in the beginning. The government did not control education.
Mm-hmm.
You see how the world system come in? It was something everybody back in the day before the government came in and controlled information, I mean education, guess what happened? Everybody, people were Christians. It was the Bible was the main source of education, and
yep.
Everything was centered around the word of God.
Yeah, amen.
See, when we want government and man's hand, then government takes God out, see?
Mm-hmm.
And he strips God out. He don't want God in the school, no prayer in school. No, but he replaces, see, darkness comes in. He replaces it with darkness.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah, see, and so when there's an absence of light, darkness starts to take over. And look, this is what happened. Because some departed from the faith, by giving heed to seducing spirits. These are, let me see, what I wrote it down, what these spirits are. It says, these spirits are leading one into error and corrupting them by using false doctrine and false teachers.
Mm-hmm.
These spirits anoint false teachers with a false doctrine. See, that's why Christ said, be careful how you hear and what you hear.
Amen.
So they gave heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. It said it should have been translated doctrines of demons. The seducing spirits entice believers away from the true faith, causing them to believe doctrines inspired by demon spirits. See that?
Mm-hmm.
So it says speaking lies and hypocrisy and having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So they're speaking lies because they're hypocrites. They're not living the word.
Amen.
They're giving doctrines of devil. And their conscience is seared. It says refers to the fact that these deceivers are not acting under delusion, but deliberately and against conscience.
Mm-hmm.
They're deliberately acting and doing these things because their conscience has been seared with a hot iron. Let's turn to let's turn to Luke 8. I'm gonna try to go fast because I got several scriptures I want to read. Luke chapter 8. And I think it's verse 18.
Take heed, therefore, how ye hear, for whosoever has to hear, for whosoever hath to him, take heed, therefore, how ye hear, for whosoever has to him shall be given, and whosoever has not from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have.
All right. So you see here, he tells us, he's warning us, take heed, therefore, how you hear.
Mm-hmm.
So that means how I hear. How am I hearing? Am I hearing? Because a lot of us, and this is why the cross is so necessary, if you and I aren't crucified, remember I said earlier that if we're not crucified with Christ, you got one or two power sources. You got the power of the Spirit of God who works to uproot, tear down, destroy, throw down, and then plant and build the right way. Now, if you're not crucified with Christ, you'll read those scriptures based upon either your church, the doctrine, the false doctrine you're under, your motive, your agenda, your personal agenda, and your previous teaching. So if you were taught wrong, you'll read scriptures to say, money cometh to me, because mm-hmm. God on a cattle of on a thousand hills, well, cow, I mean, I forgot how it goes, and therefore, I'm supposed to be rich. You see?
Yeah.
I read the scriptures, but I read it wrong. Why? Because mm-hmm. I have a motive. I have a personal agenda, and I have previous teachings that I did not allow the Holy Spirit to deal with. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. That's the job of the Spirit. So this is why you and I can't sanctify ourselves. So Christ warns us, be careful how you hear. So if I hear, and this is why the Black Hebrew Israelite movement is on the rise now, because if I put my race, see, many of us are beholden to our culture, our race, our ethnic race, and I saw one girl who's a Native American, and she put her, that's her life. There are some people that call themselves as preachers, civil rights movement preachers and pastors. That's not biblical. You are called, Christ died for the world, not for a movement, not for a race. So if you're looking at things to see your point of view through race and culture and ethnicity, then you're going to, he's saying, be careful how you hear. Because Christ didn't, he has no respect of person. He said there's neither Jew nor Gentile, nor, he said, but all are in Christ.
Yes, amen.
See, so this thing, this movement, this is why you can't get caught up. You have to put, you have to be dead to all that stuff.
Yes.
If you and I aren't, then we'll get, you can't put parties above. See, now it's one thing when a part, whoever's in a certain part, in a party or whatever, stands for or produces policies that support your values, that's different. You're not standing for a party because they can change and waver. Mm-hmm. But if that you look at the individual and you see where their policies are, you don't base it upon the person personally because you don't know them. You only know what the world presents to you and what people say. See? So the way we know them is not through what people say and present to you. It's through what they support and stand on. So you and I as a Christian are responsible for supporting policies that support my biblical view and values. That's being light. Otherwise, if I'm standing for party first, then what's happening is I'm going to be the very one to produce and promote darkness if that individual in that party is not supportive of my values, biblical values. And this is where the enemy has many of us, especially as a minority, because we're so used to voting this way because of that. Don't base it upon party. You base it upon your values and where that person, what they support policy-wise. That make sense? And when you do that, when you stand on the truth of God's word, it doesn't matter who's in position. You know them by the fruit, by what they support. And this has many of us as Christians, this is where God is sifting. He's saying, okay, you're saying you love me, you support me. Now, I said, be careful how you hear. So if you're hearing the gospel right, he said, what you do and where you your values lie should line up with my word in the earth, and you should stand and support that which I support, regardless of who it is, color, regardless of the color. Satan works through deception to deceive us, and we look at the color of a person, and we're like, oh, they, yes, that's my race. And we, and like I said, the lady that was Indian, supporting the Indian cause, but the guy was in error, and she still wanted to support error just because he was Indian. Y'all see? And this is how the enemy comes in and get us, because darkness, he wants to push and promote darkness. Y'all understand? So he says, be careful, not only what you hear, but how you hear it. Let's go up to verse 16.
No man, when he has lighted a candle, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick that they which enter in may see the light.
Right. So here he's saying you're the light. Don't cover up your light by supporting darkness, standing on darkness, and that's in anything. We're not just talking about in politics or whatever. We're talking about whatever's right, period. Whatever's right in the word of God. It don't matter the color of people. It doesn't matter. Right is right. So I'm not going to support you because you're black over this person over here that's white, but they may be standing for what's right. Y'all see what I'm saying? And so we let what we see, that's looking at things from a carnal perspective, We as a Christian have to be the first one to die to that. Be careful what you hear. So he's saying, no man, when he has lit a candle, covers it up with a vessel. You don't put a shade over it or put it under a bed. Means that Christ using this parable is not meant, parables is not meant to hide truth from sincere inquiring hearts, but rather the very opposite. But sets it on a candlestick that they which enter in may see the light. Christ called us as Christians so that the world can see your light. I'm not here just to draw a particular race. I ain't even about a race. I ain't here to draw a particular group of people. It's for the world. So as a preacher, I can't just be preaching to this group right here because I can identify with them. No, I'm supposed to be identified with Christ. And if I'm identified with Christ, Christ died for the world, right? I don't care how much people may not like them and label them and this and that. He died for them. So my life must present Christ to the world. And when I present Christ through my life, I may not even say nothing, but my light shining will draw the world out of darkness. See, wherever I go, Darkness is the absence of light. So if I'm on my job, guess what? Guess what? If there's darkness, guess what? When I show up,
light's
supposed to dispel darkness, right?
Amen.
He says, for nothing is secret. Sometimes it's hard to stand up, stand on the truth of God's word when everybody else is going against the grain, going the other way, going another direction. It's hard.
Yes.
But being rooted and grounded in faith in the cross will cause you to stand, and I promise you, people will, they may hate you because of you standing on truth now, but later on when they come into the truth, they'll be like, you know what, such and such was right, and she stood up and told me the truth. When that person comes to their spiritual senses, they're going to remember whether you stood up or not.
Amen.
It's true, and it's hard. It may be hard at the moment, but when they get right, when God opens their eyes and they see the truth and they submit, they're going to remember that you stood, even when they were in error.
Amen.
So he says, take heed, therefore, how you hear. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that which he has. Now, this is, I wasn't going to go here, but I want to go there. I think it's Matthew 25. Only reason why I'm going here is because it relates to this scripture that I'm reading, that we just read. And we got to flow with the Spirit. Okay, I think it's Matthew 25. Yeah, I think it is. Yep, it is. Matthew 25. Thank you, Lord. Now, verse 14, I think it is. This will be the last one for tonight, so we're going to read these, and then we'll pick up next week.
14?
Yes, ma'am.
For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several abilities. And straightway took his journey.
All right, let me explain a little bit while we're going along. So it says, for the kingdom of heaven. Now, the kingdom of heaven right now includes good and evil. Remember, Christ said he planted a vineyard and he planted good seeds. But when men slept, an enemy came in and sowed tares. This is the kingdom of heaven. He's comparing what the kingdom of heaven is now, meaning that this is what God created, and right now in the kingdom of heaven realm here on earth, this is what we got. You got good versus evil.
Mm-hmm.
See? And so in the kingdom of God, there will only be good. There will only be, it says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is faith, love, joy, peace, all in the Holy Ghost. Okay? So we're talking about, there's a difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Right now, so he's saying, he's comparing it to a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his good. It represents Christ at his first advent, when he came the first time. Okay, so he gave 1 5 talents, to another he gave 2, and to another 1. He gave each one according to their several ability, and straightway, immediately, he took his journey. And it means every single believer, none excluded, is given a proper ministry. We're not talking about going to get a church building and this is my ministry. Remember I said how we misinterpret God's word and we can only think about it according to our frail human flesh thinking?
Yeah.
The ministry of the Holy Spirit is working, should be working in us. Each of us, we've been given a proper ministry. If we can come into, properly come into the growth process where we can handle the talents that he's given us. Now, he's given it to us for a reason. Let's keep going and find out why.
Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents.
Okay. The talents were awarded according to faithfulness. So God wasn't looking for success. He's looking for your faithfulness, regardless of the success. Keep going.
And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord.
All right, so now we see just a brief explanation. We see that each one who was given the 5 talent and the 2, they gained other talents, right? They were faithful enough, and if the Holy Spirit is working in us, see, the Holy Spirit will put to death the deeds of the flesh. Now, we talk about works and doing religious works and all those things. What the Holy Spirit will produce, we don't just sit around twiddling our thumbs. He will produce the work in us. See, he that began a good work shall continue to the day of Jesus Christ. So he's working, but he first has to work out. That's the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Spirit in us. So in order for us to walk in the ministry that the Spirit called us to walk in, we got to first submit to the cross and let him work out so that he can work in to us what it is that we're to do so that we can produce. See, the woman at the well, God worked in her, worked some stuff out, worked in her some things. She witnessed, come see a man, and produce more or many people to go to Christ, you see?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So these people were working their faith. They were working it by faith. The grace of God was operating in their lives, and they walked into the ministry that Christ called them to do. This is why you and I can't stunt our growth when we just get caught up and get stuck at church works, religious activities. What you're doing is stunting your growth, and you're not going to produce the work that Christ or the Holy Spirit has for you. So he says, remember, the absence of light means darkness comes. So every believer has been placed in the earth to be light in this world. So there is a proper ministry given to each. Don't mean you got to be a one of the fivefold ministry. God can work through you and I in whatever capacity to support his ministry in the earth. So now we see that the one that received 5 produced 5 more, and the one that received 2 produced 2 more, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the one that received 1, what did he do? Verse 18.
Dug it in, put it in the ground.
Okay, so the Bible says that this treasure is an earthen vessel. The treasure is the Holy Spirit. It says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, right?
Yeah.
So if I receive this treasure in earthen vessels, the gift of the Holy Spirit, to produce in me, this one that received 1, he didn't let the Spirit of God work. He digged and hid the gift of the Spirit in the earth. He did not let the Spirit produce. He quenched and caused the Spirit to become of none effect in his life and did not produce more. You see it?
Amen.
When our faith is not in the cross of Christ, when our faith is not trusting in God's redemption plan, the cross, what happens is self-preservation. You don't want to change. You want to be the same. You don't want God to work in you and produce more fruit. See, this is what this individual is saying. So let's see what happens. He says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants come and reckoneth with them. So it says, service for the Lord ends at death. However, the reckoning is reserved for the rapture. So keep going. Did we read this one already? We read 20, didn't we?
Mm-hmm, we read 20.
Okay. So all of this, when the Lord comes back to reckon, it happens at the judgment seat of Christ. After the rapture, God will check our works to see what we did, and if it survives the fire, then if it was done based upon faith in the cross and the Holy Spirit produced the work in us, in our ministry, then it won't burn up.
Amen.
So this is what's happening right here. The Lord comes back to see what you did in the earth. Will it last? Only what you do for Christ will last.
Amen.
So that's verse 21.
His Lord said unto him, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord.
It says, as is obvious, it is faithfulness here that is being rewarded. Contrary to popular thought, God hasn't called us to be successful, but rather to be faithful. A lot of people are trying to make their ministries and what they're doing successful. That's not what he called us to. Because sometimes things will not be, it will not look like a success. There were many times Paul was put in prison. He couldn't make it to wherever he wanted to go. See? So it appeared as if it was not successful, but God did call him to be faithful. He had to be faithful even unto death, faithful even if he made it or not to those cities to do whatever his plans were. See, God's called us to be faithful to him regardless of your circumstances. Keep going.
He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord.
It says, if it is to be noticed, both receive equal rewards as stated. The criteria is faithfulness and not other things. Now let's see what happened to the last one.
Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not stored. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine.
This one right here, he makes an excuse. Now, the other two produce. But this one, remember, you have not received the light to put it under a shade or under the bed. This is what he did. He put that, the light of the Holy Spirit, it was extinguished. It was put out. So it says he makes an excuse. I know you and that you are a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not planted. And it says, pure and simple, his statements constitute a lie. So in verse 25, it says, the purpose of the talent was not preservation, but rather multiplication.
Wow. Amen.
So his action proclaims not only indolence, but as well insolence. Untold numbers who claim to be Christians fall in this category. So in other words, they're not acting on what the word of God said. They're, oh, yeah, God is good. Yeah, girl, the Lord, yeah. But they're not letting the Holy Spirit do in their lives what he needs to do. So self has been preserved. See, self is on the throne of the heart and not the Holy Spirit working, or faith in the cross, which causes the Holy Spirit to multiply in their life. Keep going, and we'll finish this out.
His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which has 10 talents.
All right. Well, so, in other words, he took from him that one talent he had and gave it to those who were faithful.
Yes.
And we read that earlier in one of the scriptures about to him that had more will be given.
Yes.
You see, that means if you take what God has given you, and a lot of times we're sitting back murmuring, complaining, why God, I ain't moved, why this guy, why that. God's waiting on you to move. He's waiting on me, you and I to move. He's waiting on us to act by faith so that his spirit can move and multiply. But he can't multiply unless we submit to the way in the process of the cross, so that the Spirit of God can mortify the deeds of our flesh, so we can get out of the way,
mm-hmm.
so that he can, he said, cast down every imagination and every high thing. The reason why we're so focused on our biases, our opinions, and all these things is because we've not been crucified with him. We're not letting the process of the cross work in us to decrease so that his will can multiply in us. See?
Mm-hmm.
Now look what happens. The one, because he was, God called him, gave him a talent and a gift, but look what happened. Because he preferred to keep self on the throne and not change. Keep going to the chair. I think, was it 29?
Mm-hmm.
Or 20 or 30? Which one you stop?
29.
Okay, keep going and we'll finish this out and we'll see what happens.
For unto everyone that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that has not shall be taken away even that which he has. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
So it says here, this person lost their soul. They were saved, but then they lost their salvation. So it says, in fact, this happens unnumbered times every single day. Observe religious denominations which have rejected the light. It says, these individuals do not merely lose reward, but rather their souls. All of this, as should be overly obvious, completely refutes the unscriptural doctrine of once saved, always saved. That's all it's saying.
Mm-hmm.
It refutes it. So you can lose your soul because you desire what you want instead of the will of God. And all I'm saying tonight is, when we look at Galatians chapter 3, when he said, oh, foolish Galatians, the reason why it was such, it weighed on Paul so much because he knew they stood a chance of losing. Some of them would lose their soul.
Amen.
Had they continued to walk in the religious works and activities, they would lose their soul. Why? Because God had given them the gift of the Holy Spirit, placed it in earthen vessels, placed it in, they were the temple of the Holy Spirit, and they chose to extinguish or put the fire of the Holy Spirit out. They were on that route of putting the Spirit out and making him of none effect. And we notice that if we don't produce, remember in John chapter 15, he said, when we bear fruit, it glorifies God. So remember, in order, light is not only going to shine, but it's going to glorify God.
Amen.
See, so God can grow in the earth. His presence can be known and people can be saved and delivered. So where there's an absence of light, there's going to be darkness.
Yes.
And where there's darkness, there's going to be, wherever Christ went, he healed, he delivered. I don't care who it was. He set the captives free. Whoever embraced him and came to him, he delivered them. And you and I should be able to preach a message that will bring deliverance to the captives. See?
Yeah.
We should be able to point people to the cross wherever we are and not just hide and our gifts within ourselves and keep self on the throne for self-preservation. But let that gift multiply so that it works. He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. See?
Yes.
There are hungry and thirsty people in this world that's looking for the truth, and we're caught up in religious programs and activities. We're caught up in promoting our programs and activities. And there are people dying every day that's not like you, that don't look like you and I. We got to get past all our biases and all these things in order to see the greater need that's in the world. There's dying people all over, all different colors, races. It don't matter the color. But look at it as a soul, an individual that's on his way to hell because of a lack of light in the earth.
Amen.
Amen. So on that note, we're going to have to close, but I want us to see the importance of allowing God's gospel, this gospel, to change us, just like these ones that were called and then multiplied. God wants to, this is how he's going to advance the kingdom in the earth. This is how he's going to get souls saved. It's not going to change the government. When I say government, it's not going to change it where things are going to get better. And what I mean by that is things are going to get worse, but guess what? As long as there's light in the world, we're able to reach the last day, harvest a soul and bring reap them and bring them in before it wraps up. Y'all see? Multiply.
Mm-hmm.
Multiply his kingdom by bringing in those lost souls through the preaching of the cross. So on that note, we're going to close, but until next Tuesday, those on the line, hold on. We'll take questions and comments. Next Tuesday at 7 o'clock, we have prayer at 6:45. We ask you to tune in again on an understanding of God's word. We pray we said some things that will strengthen you in your walk and in your faith. So until next Tuesday at 6:45, we'll see you again on an understanding of God's word. Thank you and be blessed.